You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
Dave Brubeck band there playing the Duke, which brings us to our next guest. Kings don't typically come to dinner nervous about making a good impression or eager to get the dinner host's approval, right? But back in 1939, on the eve of World War II, it was all royal jitters when a historic meeting took place between stuttering King George VI of England and the President of the United States, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. First time that a sitting British royal had ever visited the U.S., the king, fearing the impending threat of Germany, was eager to gain the president's support for the war effort, something he wouldn't immediately get. But the stuttering king did all right.
You were wonderful tonight, young man.
What do you mean?
Just what I said. You were graceful. You were confident. You're going to be a very fine king.
I don't know what to say.
Your father would be very proud.
I'm not so certain about that.
If I were your father, I'd be proud.
The story of this remarkable meeting is depicted in the movie Hyde Park on Hudson, opening in limited release tomorrow. That's Bill Murray with an astounding performance of FDR. Laura Linney plays Daisy Suckley, FDR's distant cousin, an eventual lover who tells the story in the film. Samuel West plays King George VI. Richard Nelson is the film's screenwriter as well as a resident of the Hudson Valley in New York, the area where the real meeting of the king and the president took place. Richard, welcome to the show.
Hi, John. Nice to be here.
So you really live up there in the place that FDR and all that crew way back then still haunts.
I live just up the road from Hyde Park and in a little village called Rhinebeck, which was the ancestral home of Daisy Suckley.
And in bringing this story alive, I mean, you certainly get a remarkable performance from Bill Murray here. What historical sources did you focus on, and why did you decide to tell the story through Daisy's eyes?
Well, as I say, I've been a resident of Rhinebeck for now over 30 years. And when Daisy died, to everyone's amazement, a suitcase full of letters and diaries was discovered under her bed. And in those diaries, those letters were to and from Franklin Roosevelt. And the diaries, with a number of pages missing or ripped out, I guess, revealed a very intimate and important relationship between those two. And that got me very interested. One of the entries into the diaries talked about this famous hot dog picnic that you just mentioned. And so the idea of talking about sort of world events, important events, but somehow entwining them with the ordinary became sort of the basis of the film.
Is it the case that an eccentric family set of characters and these letters that you found become a real window onto some very, very important history?
Oh, absolutely. I think hopefully the film works so that we feel that we're peeking in a window and seeing glimpses of, not all the substance of, but moments of real history. And I think that's a way in which most ordinary people would look at events that they have had a glancing blow connection with.
You know, we've seen a couple of presidents come to life in the movies in this season. Daniel Day-Lewis playing Lincoln in the Spielberg film. And what do you make of Bill Murray's performance here? Is it true to the history that you know so well?
I think Bill's performance is really extraordinary. As you say, it's a brilliant performance. I think he brings something. Well, I think all of us who've watched Bill's career know what a significant actor he is or has become. A movie like Lost in Translation, for example, it's just a deeply moving, satisfying, haunting performance. And so I think what he brings for Roosevelt is there's a kind of openness on one hand, a generosity, a sense that he can make everybody in the room feel like they're his best friend. And at the same time, there's something going on behind those eyes constantly as a mystery. And there's also a deep loneliness. All of those elements, I think, were the elements of the Roosevelt that we were after.
On some level, was Roosevelt this larger-than-life character as a president and a man on the world stage, and also as the patriarch of his family, in some sense the shadow of Teddy Roosevelt? Was he a sort of front man for a group of eccentrics in that Roosevelt crew back then?
Well, I don't know if a front man for eccentrics. I think they had a complicated family life. I think that whole family was it was a complicated and rich a marriage that he had with Eleanor. He had a series of relationships with women, many of which he could juggle at the same time. He had a very deep and complicated relationship with his mother. Franklin didn't have a house of his own. When the king and queen visited Hyde Park, the mother was the official hostess because Roosevelt, though he lived there when not in the White House, only had a room. The only house he ever had of his own was a small cottage he built called Top Cottage in Hyde Park, and that figures significantly in the film.
And finally, the inner and the outer life in Roosevelt is so key. I mean, the steps that he went to hide his disability, something that was much more shameful back then, less so today, really was a narrative in many ways of the other aspects of his life that were kept hidden.
Well, absolutely. It was a different time. It was certainly a different time. One way of knowing the closeness between Daisy and Franklin was that there are only two photographs in existence of Franklin in a wheelchair, and both of them were taken by Daisy Sukley. The daily life, what Franklin went through in his daily life, the complexities of dealing with his polio, those are all hidden from public view. There was such a division between the public and the private that is just hard to imagine today.
But it's an amazing story told in the movie you wrote, Hyde Park on Hudson, which opens tomorrow in limited release, goes wider later on this year. Richard Nelson is the screenwriter of that new movie. Thanks so much.
Thanks, John.
Complicated family life for the Roosevelts, but what about your family? Dana from Massachusetts wrote this on our Facebook page. I had a great uncle who lacked my grandmother's piety and faith. He swore in front of us kids. He often checked out the attractive women during church prayers, and he had some far-out theories about war and the world. Dana, it sounds like you wouldn't have done without him for a minute. Thanks for sharing. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE to weigh in on that conversation or anything else you hear on the show.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.